our aim is to make change in the industry, and it starts from our hometown, from the decision makers, the buyers, the merchandisers that are making these decisions. We want to welcome them, educate them with real solutions where, you know, they can switch the business models to support the real fashion reset. It is still possible to scale whilst making product lines and supply chains that are more people and planet friendly. Ignorance is simply no longer an option. It's time for Manchester to take accountability for its impact in the fashion industry.
Okay, welcome back to the Interline Podcast. Today, I'm going to let you in on a trade secret. Do you want to know the question that I get asked the most often? It's actually nothing to do with fashion technology. It is, where are you based in London? And the answer is usually a surprise for people, which is, we're not. The Interline might be read worldwide, but we are a UK company. We're just not based in the capital. Now, I get why people make that assumption. London is a world fashion capital. It's a technology hub. It's one of just a few places I think it makes sense to put on a serious European event alongside Paris, Berlin, Milan, and so on. And to be clear, before I make any enemies, I like London. It's got a well-earned reputation for being where the money is, where the history is, and where the culture is in the UK. But England's second city, Manchester, has seen a pretty precipitous rise up all three of those rankings in the last decade. And Manchester is both the Interline's hometown and mine. I might not have been born here. I was actually born in Bristol on the south coast of England. But I've spent the majority of my life living and working in and around Manchester, which makes it especially interesting to me to see the city's economic and cultural growth manifest itself in a new and different and more sort of introspective relevance on the fashion circuit. In 2023, Chanel hosted its Métier d'Art show here, which was a bit of a watershed moment. And this September saw the relaunch of Manchester Fashion Week after a decade-long hiatus, which now has an ambition to become a global Fashion Week fixture within the next 5 years or so. Now, I couldn't attend the show this year, so I did the next best thing. I brought its executive producer, Gemma Grattan, onto the show so I could quiz her on not just the city's momentum, but how Manchester's industrial legacy and its growing tech clout across education and industry are contributing to making such a strong case for looking beyond London when it comes to understanding the UK's role in the fashion and fashion technology scenes. So, Gemma, first thing first, as a Manchester native, I'm going to start us with an admission of bias right up front. So this is a city that's come a long way in my lifetime. I'm 43 and I've been kind of in and around the city centre most of my life. I've moved away from it several times. I lived in the centre for a decade and I always kind of end up back in Manchester's orbit. You might not be able to hear it in my accent and I might not follow football, but Manchester's a city that's pretty close to my heart. It's also where the Interline is based. So start by telling us a bit about what your own Manchester journey looks like.
First of all, thank you for having me on the show, Ben. And as you can tell just off the bat, I am a true Manchester native. My accent has not faded one little bit. And like yourself, I've been and come back over a 10-year period traveling, and you know, something has always drawn me back to Manchester. I too have seen it, you know, change dramatically over decades, and so many things have come and been built and changed in the city. And there's just a real special essence, I would say, here in Manchester. Certainly we've got our, you know, our rich history here, the suffragettes. There's been a lot of movements that have come from the city, a lot of innovation. We've been a cultural catalyst for many things in Manchester, and that, like yourself, there's just something that has always drawn me back here. And since returning in 22, it's been quite a journey resettling and grounding my roots back here in Manchester. But I absolutely love it. There's something certainly very magical about our city.
What prompted you to resurrect Manchester Fashion Week? Because if I understand correctly, but prior to this September, it had been on a 10-year hiatus, maybe a little bit longer. So aside from the fact that the thing that's on the tip of everybody's tongue is that everyone here knows that Chanel hosted a show here a little while ago. Apart from that, what else has changed about the city itself, or what else is kind of consistent about the city or the fashion community? What is it that triggered this need to, or made it make sense to revive Manchester Fashion Week after that 10-year gap?
My career personally, the year previous to the Chanel Fashion Show, Fila done a collaboration here with Haider Ackermann at Mayfield Depot. which was just an incredible production. And I was producer on that show. And being exposed to that level of production, that calibre, was a real eye-opener, and understanding how, a real runway is meant to look, and just the intricacies and everything, in back of house, or how you get it looking so streamlined and flawless. And then obviously there was the Chanel Métier des Arts show the year after. And I think from then, Manchester is just thriving with talent and creatives, and there's so many pockets all over the city of various creatives, designers. Back in 2020, I set up the Manchester Fashion Movement along with Alison Carlin and Camilla Young. I co-founded that with them back then. And there was just these pockets of creatives across the city that was really wanting to be part of this movement and the sustainability around fashion. Like I said, we have been this cultural catalyst, and I think Manchester, we excelled so much in the fashion industry that we shipped everything Eastern Bloc post Industrial Revolution, and then we continued moving so quickly that we became this epicenter of fast fashion. To bring Manchester Fashion Week back this year, particular was, big fan of Vivienne Westwood as well. She made a statement back in 2010 of, if we don't do something by 2030, there's going to be, catastrophic events happening through the fashion industry. And it just seemed the right time. We've got 5 years to 2030. And I think if any city globally is to shout out about the inadequacies in the industry and to take responsibility and to really encourage change, it seems to feel right to come from Manchester. It started here, and certainly, because we are housing some of the biggest fast fashion brands, or we have housed them here in Manchester, it just seems our, ability really to face up to that and be like, right, okay, let's start making a change. And where does that start? It starts with the fast fashion brands, but it's also about uplifting the talent and the creatives that are already in the city. And that was what Manchester Fashion Week was about this year. And I think September particular to do the fashion week is most fashion weeks, you big four, you've got Paris, New York, London, Milan, and they all do autumn winter in February time, and then they do spring summer in September time. And we really want to stick just to doing one fashion week. And we thought, September's the best time of year doing that, because it kickstart going into the following year. And we really want to have quite strong messaging around future proofing and regenerative fashion. It seemed the right time to do it this year. And I think there's a lot of buzz around fashion in the city right now.
Cool, good answer. And I think for people who aren't from Manchester and maybe haven't visited, it's a weird place. It reminds me the most of the city in the US. It reminds me the most of is Boston, I think, because both of those have complicated industrial legacies. Let's put it that way. Like the heritage that's very much built on a trade was booming and that shaped the city, but which has a legacy that is kind of overdue to be reckoned with a little bit. In Manchester's case, it's cotton. In Manchester's case, the cotton trade it's behind a lot of the industry, a lot of the architecture, a lot of the infrastructure in the city. And it really does shape the way that the city developed and the way that the identity that it has now. For people who are not from here, the B is a symbol of Manchester. It's our transport network and everything else, just because of the buzz and the industry. That's where it comes from, like as a symbol for industry. So it's hard to overstate. You mentioned, this is where a lot of fashion started. This is where a lot of kind of mass industrial revolution and things started. It's actually very true. And that's what makes it a weird place to kind of talk about fashion in, because there is that complicated heritage.
Yeah.
There is the thing you have to go backwards and forwards about saying mass scale fashion has its roots here. Mass scale fashion is now something that is a problem to be reckoned with as much as it is kind of something to be celebrated.
Yeah. I think what's important as well, Ben, is that, again, just taking responsibility and acknowledgement, and we can't change our past, but we can change our future. And I think that's what, for Manchester Fashion Week, that's what we want to do. We want to, we can't turn turn a blind eye to what's going on. And like you say, what the city has been built on, you know, things are still happening in the industry, which are really, you know, it's shameful, and things need to be addressed. They need to be acknowledged. They need to change. There needs to be some level of transparency or something, you know, within supply chains and processes. And I think, which, you know, if we can talk about industry and we can talk about citizens, and both need a cultural shift. And, you know, we are a nation of consumers. We've been marketed to as a nation of consumers. And so, you know, we're so far removed from the production and the manufacturing of how things are made. And we just see this image on a phone or, you know, online or wherever that may be. You know, people are addicted to shopping now. And I think it's bringing that awareness, but it's got to start with industry. People have got, you know, brands particularly is looking at, you know, how they can, you know, start to, you know, we don't know the answer yet, but, you know, there's definitely things happening. I mean, you know, one of the things that we had at Manchester Fashion Week this year was the Fashion Tech and Innovation Day. And, you know, one of, shout about it from the rooftops, you know, one of the amazing brands that have come from Manchester that are really kind of making quite big moves within the industry is a brand called Circuit. And, you know, that's kind of a, you know, full life cycle AI program where, you it's from design to like end of life, because you can't throw anything away. Where is away? You know, waste is only waste if you waste it, and it's got to go somewhere. And unfortunately, a lot of our, you know, clothes when they finish with are going to charity shops and they're getting overfilled because people are overconsuming, and then they get sent to, you know, they're washing up to on beaches in Ghana and landfill. And it's just, it's just time to take notice and take responsibility. And again, coming back to Manchester, because we have been, you know, a catalyst of that, and, you know, we've excelled in that way with fast fashion, is, you know, how do we really tap into our own homegrown brands and start to see them making some drastic changes within their supply chains, and then, you know, and then how that can ripple out? Because I think as soon as one person does it, then, and they exemplify it, then it can, you know, it ripples out. But, you know, when we speak about fast fashion, when you look at, you know, your well-known household brands now, which is like Shein and Temu, it's, I don't know if I can mention these on the podcast, but, you know, that's ultra fast fashion now. It's a completely different business model. And it's like, how do we really rein that in?
Yeah. And just, you know, to go down that road a little bit further, it sounds as though, I think when you were kicking this back off, when you were redeveloping Manchester Fashion Week, you were maybe offered some engagement and some sponsorship from fast fashion companies, particularly the kinds that are based here. And I think you turned those down to focus on having a clearer set of values from the start. I think you've done a good job of articulating what those values were. How did you approach that decision, though? Because what you have is, as you've mentioned, a very complicated legacy in the fashion industry and a very difficult moment for mass market, fast and ultra fast fashion in particular. What you also have as a fashion week is a need to be able to do it and fund it and then be able to do it again afterwards. It's a difficult balancing act. So tell me how you approach that decision-making matrix for that.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the get-go, we really had a strong focus on what our why was. And, you know, I'm a real advocate for fashion and sustainability. I've done events back in 2019 with Fashion Revolution. And, you know, I feel that you've got to stay aligned with your values. And, you know, although, you know, we could have done with more sponsorship money, we could have done with more support. But I think we, you know, in the future, and as we grow this fashion week and you know, hopefully turn it into a legacy that we, you know, we really want to create a, you know, a shift in the industry and be a movement as such. And ultimately, if we want to align with brands that share the same values as our own, if we're going to just, you know, kind of agree to, you know, money from a brand that's doing the complete opposite and not, you know, to what our beliefs and values are, then it kind of goes against what we're actually doing and the whole intent behind it. So yeah, myself and Hayley Shaw, who is also the other half of Manchester Fashion Week, we've just been very stern with our values and who we want to be involved. And there's certain brands that we have got in mind that we want to be involved, you know, in the future. And I think, you know, we've got to really set this solid foundation like anything. We can't be just kind of giving away to little bits of money here and there just to kind of get money in. We've got a real intent, we've got a real purpose-driven event that we want to build on year, so it wasn't, to be honest with you, Ben, it wasn't actually a difficult decision. Like, I think we got about 4 or 5 emails, to be fair, you know, literally banging the door down. And we was just like, no, it's not the right time. Unless you can go away and you can show that you've done X, Y, and Z, then maybe we'll give you a platform in 5 years' time. It's that kind of approach. And I think until we start to see drastic changes within some of the brands, then, you know, we can't give them a platform. And I think just to go back to what you said before as well, is that, you know, fashion is about design, creativity. Like, you know, we had emerging designers on the catwalk this year, and some of their designs are exquisite, unbelievable, beautiful. Like, the creations are just like, how are those made? And I think fast fashion brands, they're not designers, they're copying a lot of the designers. So it kind of goes against what a fashion week is actually about, because they're draining the creativity from the real creatives and not really coming up with their own as such. And I think, you know, if we in the future want to get, you know, the bigger brands on board with us, it's important for us to really, just to stay true to our own truth, and our own values, and not to disrespect the industry, because I think it can become quite disrespectful, you know, when things are copied, you know. So,
and then we think about the other cohort of people who were banging on your door. That's the technology side of things, I think.
Yes.
And it was interesting, you mentioned it before, it was interesting to see that you dedicated a whole day, the 3-day program at your September show, to tech and innovation. What was the catalyst behind that choice? How much experience in industry did you have with technology versus how much of that emerged from the designers, the organizers, that tell me where the roots of tech and innovation at Manchester Fashion Week took.
Sure. So back in 2017, I went to Berlin Fashion Week, and that was kind of around the time I'd started out in fashion, because I had my own clothing brand, a ladies tailored suiting brand. And I went to Berlin Fashion Week and I'd done a lot of research there. I was sat in the green rooms. I was listening to different brand leaders. There was the founder of Phasia, the founder of Beaumont. There was like so many different people, Textile Exchange. And it was just fascinating to listen to. And when I was walking through Berlin Fashion Week, there was these augmented reality mirrors. There was different fashion tech there, and they had this big board of fashion tech, and it really grasped my attention and inspired me, and starting to really look at the intricacies of fashion tech and what that looks like. And the more that I've kind of worked through the industry in terms of having my own brand and then doing sustainable consulting for other brands, it was just understanding like the amount of waste that's created. And you know, a lot of waste is through sampling. Like, I was working with one of the universities here in Manchester, Bolton University, and we went to this factory in Cheetham Hill. There's a lot of the textiles are around Cheetham Hill in Manchester, and there were so many samples wasted. And, you know, even samples where they just have a square cut out of the middle of the garments that couldn't be copied or reused. And I feel like, you know, the more I've learned about fashion tech, like the 3D prototyping, we had this other amazing brand, it's called Roxello. And, you know, they do basically when you go onto, you know, online and you look at a product online, and, you know, the colour or the texture isn't quite as it is, so that when you actually receive the product, it's not like what it looked like online. Whereas with Voxello, it is to a T. And I think, you know, understanding these brands and meeting these different people, it just really seemed to make sense. And I think ultimately the future of fashion is tech. I feel like, you know, I've been going to quite a lot of events and talks, and a lot of people speaking about, you know, AI in tech and what that's going to look like and how people are going to lose their jobs. But I think ultimately when it comes to sampling and streamlining, you know, a lot of the processes and procedures, and also for waste, it just seems to be that, you know, we are moving in that direction. I think we need to work with it and celebrate it rather than be against it. And there's just so many different tools and products out there now which are really supporting the industry. And I think it's, you know, we want to be able to create a platform for these brands that are actually making a difference in the industry, because I don't think many fashion weeks do that. And, you know, certainly next year we've got really big plans of having like labs and different things where they can be quite immersive and interactive as well. So, yeah, we my inspiration was initially from being in Berlin Fashion Week, and then obviously Manchester's the fastest growing tech city outside of Europe right now, and there's so much innovation coming from the city. So I think it's only right for us to celebrate it and to really, you know, create a platform for the brands that are really developing some, you know, real change makers in the industry.
Yeah, I mean we're a tech publication. We try not to be blithe tech evangelists. Broadly speaking, we do agree that the future of fashion is pretty reliant on smart use of technology. There's some nuance where AI is concerned in particular. But yeah, generally the trajectory is pretty clear, I think. Ooh, you kind of hinted at this, I said, but there's an interesting parallel, I reckon, between Manchester's industrial heritage and the technology pipeline that's coming from here. You mentioned it being, you know, the fastest growing tech city outside of Europe. Some of that is startups and tech companies. A lot of it is education as well. It's like where the next generation of talent is coming from. Tell me how you approached working with the city's universities for the September event, and give me an idea of how that attitude to technology and innovation manifests itself in designers, the kinds of folks you have actually showing at the event, but also how it manifests itself in education and in this like next generation of talent. Because if you end up with a sustainable fashion week, something that you continue to do year over year, the cohort of designers will year over year become more digital native. They'll become more technology savvy. I'm interested to get your perspective on how you see that evolving and what it looks like today.
Yeah, so I guess first and foremost with the universities, I think, you know, going back to, you know, Manchester Fashion Week not being here for 10 years, I think because it's not been done in this way before, when we initially approached the universities, a few of them just had a little bit of a measured approach, which we completely respected, because I think they got their fingers burnt a couple of times with our predecessors that had done it before. So we actually, the University of Manchester, they provided us, we put our call out for volunteers for Fashion Week, and we got 25 students from the University of Manchester. And they was incredible. They were so professional. They were so helpful. They was from different areas in the fashion courses in the university. And I think what was really inspiring for them was, you know, they was able to sit in on the talks, they was able to listen to the talks, as well as them helping out and hosting in different ways. I think, you know, certainly in MMU, we've got the robotics lab now in the fashion department. I'm yet to visit there. I'm actually due to go next Friday, which I'm really excited about. But, you know, I think ultimately, you know, if students don't have that, you know, if they're not digitally native right now, while they don't have that literacy in AI, I think they will struggle getting into the industry, because things are moving so rapidly. And, you know, students are now needing to be kind of keeping up to date with technology and the new ways of doing things. So it's not about taking away the artisan and the heritage craftsmanship that we, you know, of the making and how it's made and, you know, the structures and technology behind making a garment. But I think, you know, them really having backing with technology, which is something that is in all of the curriculums in the university, is super important. I'm not too clued up on it, being completely honest, but I know I was with one of the lecturers earlier this week from the University of Manchester, and she was showing how, you know, there's an element of AI and technology in every single fashion course, because, you know, that's how, you know, to keep the students up to date and how they're moving into the industry. And I think, you know, what we want to do with Manchester Fashion Week is, you know, we're connecting with the brands and we're connecting with the universities, and we want to be able to bridge that gap for future talent, for social mobility, like, you know, getting students ready to go straight into industry and just seeing what opportunities are in and around Manchester, because there's, you know, again, there's just so much. And I think the students can really bring this, you know, new age, this new kind of way of thinking to some of the heritage brands that are kind of probably stuck in their own ways in the city.
All right, so you mentioned it a couple of times, and I mentioned the nuance involved in it. And here at the Interline, we're finishing our 3D report this year, and then we'll be rolling into next year, where AI is our first report topic in the springtime. Specifically, what's your take on generative AI? Because I think the purpose of a fashion week is to empower, spotlight, and curate creativity. But it's also a bit of a unique moment right now in that what it looks like to create is under a lot of scrutiny. People are worried that specialist skills will get reprioritized. So the kinds of people who go to fashion weeks who really value the creative side of fashion worry that they might be de-emphasized and just end up letting AI do the inspiration and the design and them curating the output. Do you think designers, or in your experience, are designers hostile to AI, receptive to it, thinking like generative and creatively or something in between? And would you, or do you currently have a policy on somebody bringing a design to life at Fashion Week that began with AI or that was AI generated?
No, I think it's actually really interesting, the AI take on things. And I guess at first, so from a design perspective, there's an amazing professor from the Royal College of Arts in London, Matthew Drinkwater. And yeah, he's shown us this amazing program that the students have worked on. And he was explaining about the AI with the students at the Royal College of London. And basically he was saying that, you know, a student would put in their design, but then AI would then give, like, you know, so many different versions of that design that they've initiated in the program. And then out of all those different takes of what the AI has come up with, they can take one out and there might be something a little bit enhanced and improved in somewhat. So it's a really tricky matter, I think, the whole AI and design. I think as long as it's your own personal design and that can be proven, and then you're using AI to enhance that, then I don't think there is an issue personally. But I think, you know, when you're kind of taking a design from another designer, I mean, you're putting it into an AI program and then you're wanting to change, you know, as, you know, just making it look a little bit different, I think then that's when there is a problem. And then when it comes to kind of the whole, you know, AI fashion, you know, it's a whole another universe, really, isn't it, Ben? Because, you know, we're speaking to the Institute of Digital Fashion, and, you know, there's the whole metaverse, and, you know, Adidas have got, you know, they've come up with all these designs in the metaverse and Decentraland, and, you know, it's something that is quite growing, and, you know, people can buy these AI outfits and put them on themselves, even though it's not, you know, it's not a tangible garment, and then post themselves in these garments. And it's, you know, it seems pretty wacky and out there, but, you know, it is a thing. But I don't know how much it's going to kind of take off in the future. But I guess it's just that exploration, isn't it, of technology and fashion, and just seeing, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Because again, if we're going to look at kind of, you know, metaverse and NFTs were meant to be the next, next big thing. And they've kind of just, you know, I don't know where they've gone and if they will pick back up again. And again, NFTs is to do with fashion as well, because it's the NFT, the garments and stuff. So yeah, it's fascinating. Like I say, you know, I'm not too clued up on it, but I find it really fascinating. And I, you know, I really want to learn more about that side.
Cool. Well, I think as a Fashion Week founder, having an open attitude to stuff is probably the right way, because I think there will be some pretty polarized opinions on AI for design and on the ethics of that. But I think it's also fair to say it's not something you can ignore. The way that we tend to frame it, the way I personally think about it is, so I come at it from a writing angle rather than a fashion design angle. If you know the story you want to tell, and you use AI to help tell that story because you don't have the experience, or you're a little bit concerned about your technical chops or whatever, like there's a variety of reasons, that's fine. You have my blessing to do that. If you want to just prompt an article into being and then publish it on the web or send it off to somebody, more power to you, but I don't think that's going to translate into success. And I think it's probably you can extrapolate that into design as well, which is to say you need to have an understanding of design. You need to have cultural awareness. There's a lot of curation and skill that goes into picking good output from bad output. And I think a Fashion Week is the right place to have this sort of dialogue, to be honest.
I think as well, you know, a big standout word for me is authenticity when it comes to creativity, and it's being authentic to what's coming from your own heart and your own head. And, you know, obviously we're inspired and influenced through past designs and past designers. You know, that's how we kind of come up with creations, because it's what's been done before. But it's like, right, you know, how can we really build on that and make it better and put our own twist on it? But, you know, it's got to come from ourselves. I think certainly when it does come to design, we can't be reliant on AI for design, but only to enhance, I guess. Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Okay, cool. Right. Looking ahead then to next year's Manchester Fashion Week. So we're recording this in December 2025. So we're talking about the 2026 show here. What would you personally like to see added or expanded next year? If this year's, the 2025 edition, was evidence that it makes sense to bring Fashion Week back to the city, what do you think is going to define the next year?
So we've got the dates booked for next year already, which is super exciting. And we're going to start later in the day because we, you know, upon reflection, there was a few things that we wanted to change. But I think what would be really interesting for us is, you know, we still want to have we are going to have a day dedicated to innovation and fashion tech. And I think now that we've got, you know, our first one under the belt and that proof of concept, it would be more so kind of expanding that day into doing workshops and kind of labs and immersive, interactive. One of the things that we are quite fascinated in is the, you know, the 3D printing. And I know Cooper have just done a, you know, 3D printed shoe, which reduces waste. Well, there's no zero waste, but then it's made to order. So, you know, we'd like to have things where we, you know, we're bringing the technology and the machinery to a fashion week for people to really just see it. Because I think, you know, ultimately, even when it comes to fabrics, you know, when you see the seed, the yarn, the fabric, and then the product, it's like, it's just breaking that down for people's brains to acknowledge, you know, where things come from and how they're made is, you know, really important. So I think kind of bringing more of that into it, we want to do more of an exhibition of, like, you know, showing where fabrics have come from, showing how the technology works, you know, if for it being interactive where people can get in, you know, have a go of something, or they can put the size, or, you know, I think these, we've been offered like a 3D body scanner, which tells you your exact size, because obviously a lot of size charts are completely different. So I think it's just really getting into the crux of fashion and technology, and then looking at, yeah, how that's advancing into the future, and getting the tech on board, which is really kind of making, you know, big moves in the future. Again, we want to be bringing, you know, real emerging designers onto the runway. We've got some amazing initiatives that we're going to be launching throughout the year, and then they'll be showcased at Fashion Week in 26. So we've got quite a lot of things already in the pipeline and underway, which is kind of all moving fairly quickly. So it's just super exciting, Ben. I think definitely the time is now for Manchester Fashion Week, and certainly our messaging, like, you know, our overarching theme is regenerative fashion, and, you know, what that looks like from kind of design to end of life, and, you know, where is end of life? What does that look like for a product? And that's what we really want to focus on. And also, just to add, you know, fashion isn't just clothing. If you look at most fashion weeks, it's runways, it's, you know, it's all garments and clothing, whereas, mm-hmm. you know, we really want to include footwear, accessories. You know, footwear is a massive impact. You know, I think 70% of, footwear industry is like, you know, so it's 70% emissions from the footwear industry, and, you know, 30% waste, you know, per pair of shoes. It's something that we want to be an innovation hub. We want to put a spotlight on things that aren't being addressed or looked at, but then being very solution led, where we're kind of highlighting the problem, but we're also providing solutions and technology and, you know, alternatives that are kind of trying to address the issues that are kind of currently in the fashion landscape. So yeah, it's really a very exciting Manchester Fashion Week lined up for next year. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah. And from a technology point of view, final question, What do you expect or want to see from technology and fashion over the next 12 months? If I put you on the spot and I asked for a tech topic that you want to see being debated on stage at Manchester Fashion Week in 2026, what would it be?
I think a really, like, the hot topic right now is the DPPs, the digital product passports, and what that looks like and how that will be rolled out into the UK. Because I know, you know, these regulations are kicking off in 27 in the EU, but it's not mandatory just yet in the UK. And I think it would be really interesting to put a real emphasis on that and to maybe just kind of demand policy and, you know, demand these to start taking place. Here in the UK also. So I guess from kind of a policy side, that'd be like the DPPs, I think that's something that we are going to kind of look at. But also on another side of technology, one thing that we want to do, like, we are very, you know, it's industry led, you know, it's invite to people just in industry. However, this year we did host a number of public facing events and we still want to do that again this next year. We're going to have a number of satellite events that are going to be directly like public facing. And, you know, one of the topics that I'm really keen on bringing is the influencer culture and, you know, what that looks like and how that, you know, just the whole marketing, I guess, because that's technology in itself, isn't it? Because, you know, people are holding these devices in their hands and it's just we're completely, you know, we're constantly sold to all the time on something, you know, one thing or another. It's, you know, it's constantly in our faces and we're now getting conditioned by that. So I think it's quite, what's interesting for me is like the human psychology around consumerism and, you know, how we can maybe tap into that, you know, through maybe if it's a TikTok or Snapchat or, you know, another platform that looks into that. So yeah, that would be my two angles, I guess, with technology.
Perfect. Well, I look forward to seeing one, both of those debated on stage next year. For now, though, Gemma, thanks so much for joining me and best of luck with scaling Fashion Week.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, it's been a pleasure. And that brings us to the end of my time with Gemma. As you can tell, she's definitely got me beat on the Mancunian accent stakes. But critically, I hope you can also tell that she feels strongly that technology really does need to be a key part of the decision-making matrix when it comes to determining how and where to really look at, debate, and analyze the future of fashion. I do hope to be able to attend Manchester Fashion Week next year. And you're also going to hear me talk about a bunch of other industry events as we get into planning and firming up where the Interline's going to be and where I'm personally going to be throughout 2026. In the meantime, though, we've got a ton more episodes coming up to fill the gap, and most of them have a much more international flavor than this one. So for now, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.